Well, I do want to use our time this morning to prepare to partake of communion. So this is all kind of going to lead into our partaking of communion together. And I would like to have you look at the words to that last song that we sang. There is a fountain filled with blood. So just look at the words here. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. And next slide. And sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. Now, just out of curiosity, I'm interested, is there anybody here who's never heard that song before? Anybody? Don't be shy, it's okay. A few that never heard that song. Well, this is an old hymn, often associated with the Lord's Supper. I can remember as a kid, my father was an Alliance minister, and we sang this song quite often in church, and particularly in association with communion. That's why I ask that we sing it today as we prepare to partake of the Lord's table. And truthfully, I think with the move to, a lot of churches making the move to a more contemporary style of worship music, not many churches really sing this song these days. As I mentioned, it's been a long time since I sang it in church. And so I think it's not unusual. A lot of people just aren't familiar with it these days. But just think about the words that are portrayed there. A fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. Sinners plunged beneath that flood lose their guilty stains. Now, isn't that an interesting image? Being plunged in a fountain of blood. There's another song that we used to sing in church growing up that asks the question, what can wash away my sin? And what's the answer? Yeah, you know that one. Yeah. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And another old hymn, washed in the blood of the Lamb. It goes like this. Sorry for my singing, but I feel like to get the full effect, you got to kind of get the tune. It goes like this. Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Now, putting the theology of this aside, just think for a minute about how strange that sounds. The idea of stains being washed away in a fountain of blood. Now, for one thing, many modern-day civilized people kind of have a thing about blood, don't you think? Because we don't come into contact with it that often. And we don't really want to either, do we? Either our own or somebody else's. We're not anxious to have that experience. I've known people who literally would pass out at the sight of blood. But in times past, people came into contact with blood on a daily basis. People slaughtered their cattle, their chickens, their pigs before they ate them. And that was part of their routine. But we, these days, are kind of isolated from all that bloodshed. People today get their chicken or steak from the supermarket, and it's shrink-wrapped in plastic with almost no trace of blood. In It's all very sanitized. So we're just not used to having contact with blood like that. And so it's understandable that it makes us kind of uneasy because we're just not used to it. And when we start talking about blood in our religion, maybe that makes people a little uneasy too. I mean, it doesn't really convey a warm and fuzzy image, does it? I can remember as a young pastor, in some of the, you know, the church growth material that I would read back in those days, this church growth literature was very upfront in saying that if a church wanted to reach unchurched people or unbelievers, that you really shouldn't sing songs that talk about the blood of Jesus. Because for people who aren't used to that imagery, you know, singing about the blood of Jesus could be kind of a turnoff. And like I said, it's not a real warm and fuzzy image that it conveys. And for another thing, how do we understand this idea of being washed in the blood? I mean, that sounds strange. I mean, let's admit it. That sounds a little odd, doesn't it? To be washed in blood. Because we do not think of blood as a cleansing agent. I mean, has anybody here done any cleaning with blood lately? I didn't think so. I mean, blood is something we try to clean off, not something that we clean with. I mean, you get blood on a piece of clothing, and if you don't get it off soon enough, you're not getting it off. And it's ruined. Now, here's a little household tip for free. Do you know how to get blood out? Well, I wasn't going to say that, but cold water on a piece of clothing, you run cold water on it as soon as you can, like immediately, if possible, before it dries or sets. Cold water. And that does work. But if you let it dry and it gets set in there, then it's going to be very difficult to get out. And I know myself, I've ruined, you know, a number of shirts or pants because I got blood on them. I don't know, maybe I got a cut and I got blood on the clothes or fell and, you know, hit my knee and it bled and clothing that I got blood on, and it was ruined because I couldn't get it out. But you know what? The fact is that blood is regarded as a cleansing agent throughout Scripture. You look in the Old Testament, and I'm not going to read this because this is heavy reading from Leviticus. it's heavy reading. But in Leviticus chapter 14 in particular, you can look it up later when you're having your devotions. You know, part of the law that was given to Moses, you find there instructions for the priest to sprinkle blood on the skin of a person who had an infectious disease in order to cleanse them. And instructions for the priests to also sprinkle blood on the mildewed walls of a plaster home to also cleanse them. Now, this is ceremonial cleansing, but that was the instruction, to sprinkle blood to bring ceremonial cleansing to these objects. And certainly the New Testament speaks of the cleansing power of Jesus' blood. So let's look at a couple passages here. 1 John 1, 5 to 7. And this is what it says, 1 John 1, 5 to 7. This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him, yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. Pretty straightforward, isn't it? And of course, these scripture passages form the basis of those songs that I just referred to. Let's look at one more here from Revelation 7, 13 and 14. Revelation 7, 13 and 14 is what it says. Then one of the elders asked me, "These in white robes, who are they and where did they come from?" I answered, "Sir, you know." And he said, "These are they who have come out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb." So there you have it. Cleansing. Washing something white by being cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. So here's a question. How should we understand this idea of blood as a cleansing agent? In what way does blood make things clean? And are we talking about a ceremonial cleansing? Or are we talking about a literal, real cleansing by blood? Now, interestingly enough, medical science shows us that indeed blood does bring literal cleansing. And I want to show you a little visual aid here. So I need a volunteer. John, we talked about this before, and I didn't have to twist his arm too much to get him to agree to do this. So, are you ready?
Sure.
Okay. All right, here we go. I have a blood pressure cuff here. I got to make sure I put this on right. Okay, hold your arm out. We're going to put this on. I'm just going to put this on your arm. Okay? Okay, here we go. I'm going to pump this up. Oh, let me see. I want to see the gauge. Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Is that getting tight? Okay, now all I want you to do is go like this. Fast as you can. Fast as you can. Is that as fast as you can go? Oh, look, he's speeding up. Okay. All right. So, how's that feeling?
Okay.
How's your arm feeling?
A little sore. Starting to get numb.
All right. Is it hurting yet?
Yeah, I'd say so. Yeah.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Okay, it's starting to hurt now. Oh, see, he's slowing down now, too. Yeah, okay. All right, you had enough?
I'm good.
Okay. All right, no, stay here, stay here. Okay, how's it feel now?
Feeling's coming back.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, so the pain's pretty much gone?
Yes, I'd say.
Okay, so it's feeling back to normal?
Still a little numbness.
Okay, but not like it was before. Okay.
Yeah.
Pain's reduced. It's getting back to normal. You can move it. And,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. Thank you.
That's it.
Now, see, here's the thing. John has just experienced the cleansing power of blood. And here's how that works. The blood pressure cuff, when I put that on, acted as a tourniquet on his arm. I pumped it up, and what that did was it shut off the blood flow to his arm. Now, I hope you don't mind a little biology lesson here. But as he continued to exercise his arm, you know, flexing his arm like this, those muscles in his arm and hand, they used up the oxygen in the cells in those muscle cells. Used up the oxygen in the muscle cells of his arm. And that produced waste products that are normally carried away by the flow of the blood. But because there's no blood flowing, the blood's cut off, there's no blood flowing, those waste products that are being produced by the use of those muscles, those waste products, they're not being carried away now. They're building up in those muscle cells. Those waste products are building up in the muscles of his arm. And that is what causes the pain. But when the tourniquet is released and the blood flow is started up again, the blood rushed in, down his arm, and cleansed those waste products. Literally washed them away. And his arm returned to normal. Pain quit hurting, the numbness. So you're back to normal now, right? And so that's how blood literally brings cleansing. And the truth is that without blood to wash away the waste products from our body's cells, we would die. Because we could not stand the buildup of those poisons. All that would accumulate and we would die. And so, it's not going too far to say that blood sustains life by cleansing away the harmful waste products that would destroy our life. And this little visual aid here provides a powerful picture of how the blood of Jesus cleanses us. Think of it like this. Sin is a poison in our system that is destructive to our relationship with God. It separates us from our Heavenly Father. And really, it ultimately brings death, both physically and spiritually. And whether it's something that we might consider a big sin, like murder, adultery, robbery, some child molestation, some terrible thing like that, or whether it's something that in our society seems more acceptable, less serious, like a white lie once in a while, cheating on the taxes, gossip, pride, covetousness, things that are more inside us than outward actions. Still, it's sin. and the effect is the same. And it's still a poison that destroys us. But the blood of Jesus, and this is the consistent teaching of Scripture. We looked at a couple, but there are other passages you could look at that teach the same thing. The blood of Jesus, as it was shed on the cross, washes away the poison, the sin that would destroy us. And so what we see here is that just as our physical blood carries life-giving nutrients to our body cells and carries away the poisonous waste products that are produced, even so, Jesus' blood brings spiritual life to us and washes away our sin when we, by faith, accept his work on the cross for us.